the key to success.
That's my key, you know. If people start expecting things of me, then I'm actually going to have to start getting stuff done and doing it right.
Yeah.
So, just keep it low.
I mean, yeah, I guess with low expectations, if you just, like, continuously, like, turn out mediocrity, then,
If you constantly produce nothing, it gives them the least little something, and they think it's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess kind of like the Gomer. Well, actually, not like the Gomer effect, as I was saying. Because Gomer does things that are just actively bad. You know, it's not... I feel like that's worse than doing nothing, because he's trying and failing just constantly.
But then people will say, well, at least he's trying.
I don't.
I don't either.
Okay.
Either succeed or don't do it at all.
Yeah. He's working hard to wrangle them other podcast personalities for the other show.
He is. I mean, I would do it, but I already do one podcast with that asshole. I don't need to do more.
Well, I'm going to be working Saturday night.
So what podcast is being recorded Saturday night?
I honestly don't remember the name of it. Like super, it's a stupid name.
Oh yeah, it's the one that's named super after explosion.
Yeah, the one that he stole the name from something
from
else, that it's Gomer.
It's it's a parody / ripoff of not the Trailer Park Boys, but they did another show called the Super Happy Fun Time Drunken on Drugs Hour.
Right, and it's the Super Fun Time Explosion Show.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Well, that is not this show.
That is not this show.
This show is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 177.
Ah.
177?
That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
I think we need a rebirth, or maybe a legacy.
Well, if we do a rebirth, then we have to do a legacy when we hit 200.
If we do legacy, though, we need, next generation of Larry, Adam, and Taylor.
No, we need to do a rebirth.
No, we just have to change outfits.
No, we do a rebirth, we go 25 episodes, and then we do a legacy, and we revert back to the original numbering. But we're still going to leave those other episodes on, like, the background with the same weird numbering. So there's going to be two episode 25s in your back archives, just to confuse everybody.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do like comics do and start putting the year that number two is from.
And actually, we're doing a good job of if we do the rebirth now, we'll be doing good, because by the time we do the legacy, we'll be by one of those magical 100 marks.
Yeah.
Like Thor this week just so happens to be Thor 700. Conveniently.
Does anybody have a count on that?
I know. And it's funny, because I think Amazing Spider-Man's only like 10 or so issues away from issue 800. Avengers is only 20 something issues away from 700.
The death of the mighty Thor.
We've got.
Which one is the mighty Thor?
I think that's Jane Foster. Thor.
Okay.
She's been dying this whole time, so that makes
sense.
Yeah. They even worked in Frog Thor, and we got Young Thor, and Odin's son Thor, and Heimdall Thor, and Beta Ray Bill Thor, and Valkyrie Thor. Beta Ray Bill.
No, yeah,
that's
old Thor.
Is Beta Ray Bill a horse?
I think that's Valkyrie.
What's up with the head?
It could be his granddaughter.
Beta Ray Bill does have a horse face, yes.
A literal horse face.
Yes. Very reminiscent of a horse, yes. Have you never read Beta Ray Bill?
He's an alien.
No.
You never read, like, the Walt Simonson run on Thor?
No.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a classic one. You should. If you're ever interested in reading Thor comics, that's one that pretty much every Thor fan reads at some point.
It's generally regarded as the...
I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and that recommendation came from...
Taylor?
And we also have...
Adam.
The other person here.
The other person, you know.
Yeah. Now, who's that riding Tooth Gnasher up there? Is that his other granddaughter, maybe?
That might be his other granddaughter.
Okay.
Because she has the axe.
So where's the third granddaughter? She's kind of getting left out here.
I don't know.
Thor's granddaughter? Or
Thor's granddaughter.
Thor has
from
three
the future.
Granddaughters, yeah.
Apparently not with Jane Foster.
I assume not. It's unclear. They are full-fledged gods, though, so I guess probably not. Well, at least I assume they're full-fledged gods. They were on Gore's god murder planet, so unless he got to the point where he was moving on to demigods, then...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Gore would segregate them. I think as long as they have any drop of god blood, he's an equal opportunity god killer. Yeah.
Classic Gore move.
Yes.
Well, we were just mentioning Walt Simonson, the all-time great Gore run.
Killer or a god butcher?
God butcher is his proper title, I suppose.
I guess.
But that was a great story. God butcher and god bomb. Jason Aaron is, even though the run isn't done yet, he's definitely on the short list for best Thor runs. It's been a hell of a, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. One of the few writers to actually have a long run over at Marvel.
And it's been consistently one of the best things Marvel's been putting out.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah, but I'll look forward to reading that. It's a shame I forgot to do Geeks Picks this week. I probably would have picked that one.
I haven't done Geeks Picks in a long time.
Yeah. Don't David and Gomer know it?
I know.
Oh, well. Speaking of comics, so I was reading Metal number 3 last week. I think it's starting to lose me.
It's starting to actually become an event. It's instead of being a really weird Batman story.
Yeah. So far, I'm just reminded of all the things that were kind of getting on my nerves about Scott Snyder's run.
What's getting me is that it is super 90s. It just feels like it's something that came out of 90s comic books.
Yeah, I can see that. It's also kind of having a Rick Remender thing going for me where it's super grimdark and things are so hopeless, and you know they're going to fucking win.
Well, yeah, you know they're going to win. But
so it's like one of those things like... I really worry when they set up like really dire circumstances like this where it seems like, oh, there's no glimmer of hope, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, no, we won anyway. You know, it's really hard to dial up the grim darkness to 11 like that and then have a satisfying payoff because you don't want the solution to seem to spring out of nowhere when they're kind of going out of their way to establish right now that it's a hopeless situation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as totally, none of the major characters can totally lose, you know. Didn't they kill? They killed Flash today, this week or whatever.
Well, they can kill people in the short term, you know. That can,
right. I mean,
Rick Remender did that. Remember when Rick Remender killed off, he killed off Rogue and all,
he nuked fucking planet Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. He destroyed the entire planet at one point. So
there's only so many times I can watch Rick Remender kill millions of people and still have an effect.
Well, see, now he's
literally done it so
many now times. He only writes indie books, so it's okay, because he can kill off everybody, and it actually means something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are you expecting it nowadays?
Yeah, but when he does such a good job of actually writing the characters, it still makes you care a little bit.
I was really into Rick Remender's X-Force run for a while, but then it's like...
Well, his X-Force run was by far his best.
X-Force was good. I don't really have anything bad to say about that, but, Uncanny Avengers, did too much shtick where it's like, oh, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. Oh, wait, no, we're fine.
They did too much, yeah. And that Axis book that ended his run was awful. That was one of the worst events in a long time that I...
Yeah. The solution needs to feel earned.
It does. It does.
It often doesn't when I'm reading Rick Remender stuff.
But, yeah. But anyway, I'm still in for metal. You know, it.
I think I'm giving it another issue. I picked up the Drowned one
today. Yeah, that one looks weird. Out of so far, all of the alternate Batman books have been good. And this is really the first one that I'm really questioning.
Okay.
So, is this a female Aquaman?
Yeah, so far we've
had... It's a female Aqua Batman.
So far we've had Flash Batman, Cyborg Batman, and Green Lantern Batman. Now we've got Aquaman Batwoman. So, keep up, Larry.
That's what I thought.
But no, yeah, that's what it is. According to all the stuff they're saying in Metal, though, it is still very much Bruce Wayne, although... What is the feminized version of Bruce?
I flipped through it, and it is Bryce Wayne.
Bryce?
Is Bryce a girl's name? You know what?
You know, nowadays, you know, that's actually kind of a gender-neutral name. I can see that either way.
I mean, people can have whatever names they want. I shouldn't be ascribing that on people. Anyway.
But no, the best part, though, is his name is Bryce Wayne, but the Catwoman analog, which I guess would be Catman, is Sylvester Kyle, which I that works on multiple levels. So.
It does.
Okay. Okay, yeah, when I first heard it, I didn't like it, but, you know, I guess that's as good as you could have done.
It's Sylvester.
Yeah, Sylvester from Sylvester and Tweety. Until you said works on multiple levels, it didn't occur to me about that, but yeah, I guess that's about as good as you could have done with that, I guess.
Well, you know, Garfield Kyle would have been a little too... out there.
I was thinking maybe Simon Kyle or something. But now Sylvester.
I don't know any cats named Simon.
I know a Simon that has a cat.
I do want to be the guy who names their cat Simon, though. That's a.
You know, I think they missed a good opportunity to name him Heathcliff Kyle.
Heathcliff Kyle. He did always like to cause trouble.
Yeah. Heathcliff Felix Kyle. Son of Garfield Kyle.
Son of Garfield.
My catcher gets one.
Cats.
So you take general skills.
Now. Heathcliff Felix, son of Garfield, sounds like a good D&D character name.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually.
Hail Mary, diamond catch.
I highly recommend this skill.
I usually give my D&D characters just, like, boring-ass names. Like, I don't do, like, the super flowery, like, Middle-earth names.
I guess Felix Heathcliff would sound better, though.
I just stayed at the back of the ball.
Felix Heathcliff, son of Garfield, son of Sylvester.
It automatically bounces, but I've got.
Are we missing any famous cats? I'd hate for our 11 viewers to listen. Oh, they're forgetting about. Yeah.
They got his genealogy wrong for this fake D&D character.
I mean, you could make a catfolk character.
I don't know, it sounds like a dwarf to me.
These guys will never earn anything.
Felix Heathcliff?
Dwarf, maybe. I don't know. The Felix part, maybe I'll. But this, if you add the son of, that sounds very dwarven. Felix Heathcliff by itself, I could see that being an elf.
I like the dwarf names that Jason Aaron is using in his Thor book. Like, it's Screwbeard, son of Headwound.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's son of Headwound. I'm missing something in there somewhere. Yeah. Well, someone in his genealogy is named Headwound, and I'm rather fond of that. Oh, man. I mean, I'm not off of metal yet, but I feel like it's starting to lose me.
Yeah.
And it... What's the name of Sabrina's cat?
Oh, Salem, I think.
Salem.
Yeah. Salem, yeah. There you go.
And he's already in comics.
That reminds me, there was the cat from Hocus Pocus, it's around Halloween, so I'll probably watch that again soon. I could have sworn up and down the stupid cat's name was Thackeray. Apparently the cat's name is actually Thackeray or some stupid fucking thing like that.
Boy is from a time where people had stupid names.
Yes, but that sounds like it's trying too hard to imitate a stupid name from like 300 years ago.
I mean, what do you expect from that?
I have no throw.
I expect from a Disney Cat fucking Zachary. What's wrong with that?
Well, Thatcher would have been a legitimate name 300 years ago.
Not a first name, though.
Oh, yeah, it would have been a last name.
Yeah.
And by medieval naming traditions, it would have been Thatchery Cat or Rat Killer.
Well, it was a person who was turned into a cat, so I assume he had a perfectly normal, or never mind perfectly normal, but a human name of sorts. Well.
I haven't seen Hocus Pocus in years.
It's one of those things where, like, it's nice to have on in the background during Halloween season.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I don't know the last time I, like, actively watched it, but, like, you know. It's charming enough for what it is. What is your favorite Halloween movie? Mine's not Hocus Pocus, but...
Halloween movie?
Which I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be a horror movie, but, like... I would probably put Nightmare Before Christmas on my short list, and that's definitely not a horror movie.
No, no, no. Nightmare Before Christmas is definitely...
Is that a Halloween movie?
I would say so.
It works as both a Halloween and a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I think of it first as a Halloween movie, but I could definitely see the argument
later. I've always thought of it more as a Christmas movie.
Well, it's got Christmas in the title, so that definitely helps.
Yeah, and
and it was released at Christmas.
And the movie does take place during Christmas. But I feel like it's more Halloween, like, aesthetics, right? Not just in the sense that they all have, like, the, you know, ghouls and goblins and everything running around, but the art style is much more appropriate for Halloween than it is for Christmas.
It works for both.
And the overwhelming amount of the action does take place in the Halloween locations, not the Christmas ones, even though it is during Christmas.
Yeah, I'd still consider it more of a Christmas movie. I mean, I
can't say that you're wrong, but I'm just trying to justify why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Well, definitely. I mean, I get your point, but...
It bounces three squares. If someone doesn't catch it,
it's automatically.
It's,
so even if you
catch it,
it's the emo Christmas
movie. Well, I don't get a roll for a catcher.
Definitely that, yeah.
Yeah, because they needed a Christmas
movie. Oh, yeah, I forgot Blood Bowl does.
But it has a happy ending at the end, so it can't really be the emo Christmas movie.
Oh, okay.
Emo is
so
really
lucky,
emo.
Because
they live.
Catch gives me plus one to catch.
You are correct, I guess.
Maybe. Also allows me a chance to catch.
What's the like the breakdown there? There's like scene kids and like.
As long as it bounces near him.
I like how you're asking Larry about this.
I go to Larry for my preteen concerns.
Larry, break down the youth of America.
Works exclusively with preteens. You figure you'd be more hip to this. Though.
I don't actually have a lot of emo or scene kids.
That you know.
I don't think scene kids are possible to be preteens, seeing how. Is there a preteen scene?
I don't know.
Things like extra arms.
Yeah.
This is why we're asking you. See, you know more.
So I would assume that there'd have to be a scene for them to be at. Now, of course, when I was in my teen days.
Why did you put air quotes around teen?
I like putting quotes around stuff, I guess.
You were definitely a teenager at some point.
No, you skipped those years.
But I just emerged fully formed from the womb.
He just went into a cocoon. When he was 12, he went into a cocoon and he came out of it as soon as he hit 20.
My teenager years were not spent as the stereotypical teenager. Seems how I was on my own at 15. So I don't have the traditional teen angst type.
Explains why you're so angsty now, Larry.
I mean, I had some of those experiences or whatever, but my teenage experience when I was during my teenage years was not the same as the average Joe American.
Well, then I guess I'll never know.
but
all you scene kids listening to this podcast, please write in and explain your movement to us.
You see, this is really
inquiring minds want to know. Yeah.
This is really a Jesse question. Yeah. But I haven't seen
Hey, Jesse, if you're listening, come on here, man. I miss you.
Yeah, where have you been? But no, it was just goth. And, yeah. Or, and there wasn't even goth and then industrial. It was just goth and industrial. Or goth industrial.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about when you're saying industrial right now.
Is
that another subset of goth, or is it tangentially related to goth? Or?
Okay, so the gothic trends. I
also like the answer to air quotes.
Because it wasn't really gothic styling, it was just inspired by people's romanticized versions of gothic styling.
Well, isn't that
and Anne Rice's vampire books?
Well, historically, gothic just meant anything that wasn't Roman. It was a term that started getting used when they were breaking away from the classical forms of architecture that were being used.
Exactly, where it's, you know, in that particular era was referred to, you know, gargoyles and dark quasi-medieval, you know, type appearance, whatever. And very, dark, pale, whatever. But industrial, at least what was called started being called industrial music then, had the same fashion sense, but a little bit more techno music to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, and a little heavier metal. So,
so are they like blending Moby and Metallica or something here? That'd be an interesting picture.
Think.
I would listen to at least one song of that.
Yeah, I mean, out of curiosity, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the roles change.
If,
generally just by roles.
Let's see, you would have...
Yeah, because usually roles are double.
I think. I don't know, maybe,
when you buy rerolls after you started, it's usually double.
Exciting. Yeah, Moby and Rammstein or Rammstein.
Okay.
But it's also...
I'm just having a hard time, like, imagining that.
Just heavy metal goth music you can dance to is what it was basically put out there. Or that goth people that don't dance could dance to. Could do drugs without being raver kids. And that's because the industrial scene... And I really wanted to put air quotes on that.
I admire your restraint. I can tell that you were fighting it off when you did.
Well, you can tell by the tone in his voice, the way he says the specific word that he wants to put in air quotes. He draws it out a little bit.
that being said, I think gave way to the rave kids and electronica, whatever.
It's actually not kids these days. Kids of yesteryear.
But a lot of the early goth clubs were industrial areas. Or at least in the neck of woods I was from.
Well.
But I'm not a musical historian. And I could just be pulling shit out of my ass for all y'all.
Well, that's usually what I mean, assume you're doing.
That's kind of just our shtick here.
I do actually know something.
Well, we never doubted that for a moment, Larry. I was kidding about you being my go-to like teen culture historian.
I wasn't.
I do not kid about you being my go-to video game history.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Video game history and random technology facts. Pretty good at.
Oh, and the behind the scenes stuff at comic shops and whatnot, of course.
Wow. Yeah. I have a little experience with that.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, you'd be in a whole lot of trouble by now if you were just completely unaffiliated.
So, speaking of air quotes and quotes and little bunny symbols made with hands.
Yeah, get to the point.
Yeah. Trevor Noah did a whole little spiel about it's when Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert did a whole spiel about Trump using quotes around the word thanking media or something he did this weird quote just wanting fair use time and
I think it was comedy put around the unfunny late night host.
Now you have Taylor doing air quotes.
Well, I was quoting someone using quotes, so what more appropriate time?
He's air quoting somebody doing quotes. Damn it. We're in quoteception now.
You are right that they do tend to have perplexing use of quotation marks in some sources, including our current president's Twitter feed.
Wow. Our current president's Twitter feed is interesting.
It's interesting for a lot of reasons.
Yes. But, what's his name? The Daily Show guy. Before Trevor Noah. Jon Stewart.
Right.
Yeah, he was on the bit, too.
Yeah. He was the equal time part of the joke.
That was pretty fun. All right.
It was a good bit.
You spend money to buy,
I feel bad because I don't watch TV.
Well, that was randomly streamed.
Most of the late night shows now you can just watch them on YouTube.
Right.
They put out the monologues, they put out the segments, they put out the interviews. You can watch, as far as I'm aware, beginning to end.
I think there's probably like a couple minutes here and there you might miss. It's like the Adam knows everything or ruins everything or whatever.
You definitely get the lion's share of the material.
Yeah, you get all his segments, but you don't get an intro and an outro. So, I don't know. I used to always like to watch the Jay Leno headlines. Yeah,
that was his probably best bit, yeah.
Yeah. But on the awkward segue of streaming, anybody excited about Stranger Things or?
I am excited about Stranger Things. I was super excited about Punisher coming out tomorrow before the
but
podcast
it's not
started.
Tomorrow,
but
it's
Adam gave me some bad
November 17th.
Yeah, I mean that's soon, and you know that is good to have a release date, but. I was led to believe tomorrow, and I was rather shocked.
I just wanted to ruin your weekend. That's all I wanted to
Mission
do.
Mission accomplished. You did that very thoroughly. Well, I guess I can't really say my weekend was ruined because, you know.
Objectively, you haven't lost anything.
An hour ago, I wasn't expecting Punisher to be there. It was only for that blissful, 10 minutes.
Well,
or
it would have been much better if you had told him that I was going to be there, and then he planned his evening.
But I hope Punisher's good. Marvel's Netflix shows have been pretty stellar for the most part. Iron Fist wasn't, but everything else has been
at least
a solid B.
Pretty universally accepted as their low bar.
I wouldn't call it a dumpster fire like other people.
No, it wasn't dumpster fire bad.
It was so boring.
It was just boring, yeah. It was
like I still haven't finished it. I got a few episodes in, I stopped watching for a few days, and I'd sat down like, do I really want to sit down and watch more of this?
It's all exposition that you get in the first two episodes of Defenders anyway.
I could think of a million other things I could spend my time doing other than watching Iron Fist.
Right. And if there's one thing that being a comic book reader has taught me over the years, is that I don't have to watch and I don't have to read everything to appreciate.
Maybe you can miss out on like a clever reference here or there or something like that. But for the most part, comic readers have adapted to just kind of rolling with something even if you don't fully understand it.
I don't need all the tie-in issues. Yeah. I'm okay.
You pick up enough from what you're reading. Very rarely does that bite you.
Yes. So.
But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is going to be dope.
Why?
Wow, what?
Did you know they were sponsoring Halloween Comic Fest this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, because you told us last week.
Did I tell us last week?
Yeah.
He also got the big stand-in over there.
Or maybe the week before you told us.
Maybe.
Whatever
it's
the week that
mentioned.
You first got that giant stand.
Is oh, I think that was the same week we were trying on all the Halloween masks.
Probably. I did notice you got a Hellboy mask over there. That wasn't here when we were...
It wasn't pulled out.
That looks heavy. Is it heavy?
No.
What's it made out
of? They're all kind of heavy.
I mean, they're made out of the same material as the...
The Son of the Harpy mask?
As the...
No, not the Son of the Harpy mask.
No, the Daredevil mask.
That mask is huge. You can kill somebody with that mask. Yeah.
That mask is like ceramic or resin or something.
Yeah.
Like, you could cast that and use it as armor.
So the Hellboy isn't as heavy as the Son of the Harpy one?
Yes.
No.
That's good. Whatever you have it on, though, makes it look like it's pretty solid. It almost looks more like a mannequin head than a mask sitting over there.
Well, I have it stuffed selectively.
You did a good job with the stuffing process.
Yeah, thank you.
It looks very solid.
And my custom-made pikes.
Now, see, you have the face hugger up there, which I understand you should wear on your face, but should it be considered a mask?
Well, I sold one of the masks that was there, so...
That is kind of making the best.
And boom, I just saw just put the face hugger there.
Which mask did you sell?
How much is your team worth, sir? Trying to remember which one's not there. Oh, was it Venom?
It was.
It was Venom, okay. Yeah. Somebody likes their Venom.
Are they still making that movie?
Is
it like Tom Hardy attached to it?
Tom Hardy is attached. They're still making that movie just like they're still making that Gambit movie with Channing Tatum.
Oh, so they're not. Okay. So they have it in their studio notes. I'm assuming mostly just to keep Marvel from using the character.
Well, Marvel couldn't use the character, period.
Well, they might.
Spider-Man
they might have been able to get Venom. You know,
mercenaries. I mean, they own the rights to the Spider-Man franchise.
They got their foot in the door, though.
Venom is, well, yeah, but
I mean.
I
understand that the X-Men characters are never going back, probably. I mean, they're going to milk that one until the end of time, it seems like.
Well,
but they should really let go of the FF.
They should, if they're not going to do anything with it, but...
I mean, they're going to do something with it, it's just going to be another fucking disaster, I'm sure.
You're so full of hope. I like you, Taylor.
They've made three of those Fantastic Four movies. Two of them were campy, but forgivable. The most recent one, though, was a real shit show.
It was. I'm definitely more forgiving of the first two.
I mean, the first two
now,
were just mindless popcorn crap. It's fine.
They are
what they are.
At least I had a sense of family to them.
Yeah, they're watchable.
Yeah. So.
Whereas, you know, I would only want to watch the Fantastic movie if I was trying to, like, ruin a friendship with someone. Like, hey, sit down and watch Fantastic with me. It's like, why did you do that to me, Taylor? You know why.
You know why.
I don't think that movie will ruin friendships if you show. That's probably one of those movies. Well, no, it's not even bad enough to where you can laugh at how bad it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like
it's not exciting until the last 10 minutes of it.
Like, there's bad movies and there's bad movies,
right?
Like, movies like Suicide Squad, I could like leave it on in the background, maybe clue into like one or two of the action scenes, and understand that overall it's pretty bad, but there's watchable parts to it. And things like Batman v Superman or Fantastic. There's just nothing redeemable about those.
Fireballs.
They're just soul-crushing.
Soul-crushing.
Oh, but hey, we're like a month out from Justice League. Yeah, I think
you're gonna go see that in theaters?
Not week one.
Not week one. Speaking of movies not seeing week one, I saw the new Blade Runner movie this past week.
Yeah, you were mentioning that, so let's give your in-depth thoughts. I guess spoiler-free, though.
Spoiler-free? It was actually a pretty good movie. I actually really enjoyed it. Larry's opinion of Blade Runner is not going to change. He's still going to probably think it's boring.
Well, the first movie was boring.
Yeah.
I've been told I would like this one better.
I think you would like the cinematography of it. It is probably one of the most beautiful movies.
Well, the first one was a beautiful movie.
Yeah. So it definitely follows in the same vein of the original movie, where it's a beautiful movie with a lot going on in the subtext, but like the actual plot is probably something that's not all too original. Because, I mean, the original Blade Runner, the plot of the original Blade Runner wasn't all that revolutionary or exciting.
Well, no. I mean, there's other movies that have done similar things and stuff. That's
exactly. But it was all the little bonus scenes and all the subtext and what was going on in the background that makes the movie
well, and great. That movie will always stand a place as one of the early, most successful product placement movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Your fans love this.
Larry's opinion, notwithstanding.
They talk about that in the
Blade Runner is one of those movies where I have a hard time describing what it is that I like so much about it. What about it that the people who like it for? And, yeah, part of it is what you were touching on earlier, just
subliminal messaging.
Just fuck off, Larry. But, I think part of it is the subtext to it. It's a very meaty movie. It's a movie that rewards your scrutiny. It's a movie that, unless you sit down and consider everything that is being said and being shown to you, you're going to be missing out on most of the movie.
Right. And I think Taylor would really enjoy some of the subtexts in this movie. Like, I think you would enjoy the relationship between Ryan Gosling and his girlfriend in the movie.
Okay.
And it does a good job of incorporating some of the events of the original movie, but not feeling like it is just using it for nostalgia's sake to be like,
that's good.
Yeah.
I remember when I first heard that they were going ahead with the Blade Runner sequel, my biggest concern was them torpedoing some of the ambiguity of the first movie, because that was a big part of the first movie.
Right.
Did they do that?
To an extent. I mean, by the fact that Deckard is there, period,
maybe if I get started,
kind of ruins the ambiguity.
Yeah, well, yeah,
of the
I guess
movie.
The movie takes. Well, the original Blade Runner was in like 2016, 2017, something like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah. And so the fact that this is 30 years later, 2049.
Right.
And he's definitely not a replicant.
Replicants only have.
Yeah, that was
4-year lifespan.
That was the major plot motivation of all the replicants in this movie was that they were all about to die.
That ambiguity is gone, but there is still quite a bit of ambiguity in the actual movie.
Okay.
Like,
well, the important ambiguity I always thought, like, okay, I mentioned this before, but, like, Roy Batty is my favorite character in the movie.
Right, because he's explaining all these great, wonderful events that he's experienced in his life that are super ambiguous that you'll never see.
Yeah, the fact that we don't have any context for what he's saying is part of the tragedy of his death.
Right.
So they don't fuck that up, right?
No, they don't fuck.
Okay, cool. That was probably the single.
It is still a very grounded movie. So.
Okay. We don't go out into space at all.
No, no space.
Good.
No space.
Okay. Well, I'll probably try to check it out then.
Yeah.
Now that I've gotten your.
It's a good movie. It's actually a good movie.
Seal of approval. Okay. Next time I have some.
Larry still won't look at that.
Wow. What else is?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Yeah, he's definitely just
I mean, Larry went into a movie. What was that Kevin Smith movie that you were just shitting all over? The sausage one or whatever?
Yoga Hosers.
That was it.
That is just a terrible movie, though.
Yeah, but you were going in expecting it to not be a terrible movie when it was called Yoga Hosers?
No. I wasn't expecting Citizen Kane or, you know, Schindler's List or anything.
Dude, you shouldn't go into yoga but, expecting fucking Porky's.
Now, I was expecting, you know, a movie.
You know, I can't fault you that one. That's so like
you know, I was expecting somewhere between Mallrats and Clerks only.
Well, that's how the movie was advertised. It was like female Clerks.
Yeah, it was supposed
with,
to be a female Clerks a with a version of Clerks.
Yeah. Speaking of Mallrats, that reminds me of Stan Lee. And that reminds me that apparently they're going to be making Stan Lee movie cameo pop figurines.
I can see that selling, so yeah. Good for them.
You know, I might just buy at least one.
How many? I mean, they're all going to look the same.
Well, you know what? Hell, if it's just a Stan Lee pop figure, that sounds pretty cool to me.
I mean,
pop, like in the Funko Pops?
Yeah, the Funko Pops. I'm
pretty sure they already have that.
Stan Lee?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look out for that one. Apparently, yeah, they're doing the cameo ones, which I guess the thing
they could do a whole line.
That's what they're doing.
I'm pretty sure they have a Stan the Man pop.
Yeah, that's why some pro teams are like...
Oh.
I know he has a Fison doll. I'm sorry. I don't know why I air quote Fison. It's a brand name. But Fison...
You've gone crazy with these air quotes, Larry.
But Fison is the company, I believe they make the real dolls. The real
See,
being
that,
brand name.
That sounds horrifying, and I don't want that.
Yeah. Now, they also make a, you know, like a 1/10 or, you know, maybe it's a 1/6 scale, you know, atomically correct line of dolls.
That sounds awful.
Maybe 1/6, 1/10. And now...
I don't want that either.
You don't want a miniature Stan Lee staring at you?
No, no. I need the buffering that having him have like cutesy animated proportions provides.
The team is these guys.
Now, I don't know if it's as part of their atomically correct line as well. But, they, I only know this because they actually approached me as a potential retailer. And
I thought you said they were going to approach you as a potential doll.
They don't have a retailer in Tennessee that I'm aware of. But,
are you going to be the only
No. This was a while back. And
well, now Adam put the thought in my head of like, a fucking Larry figurine.
Atomically correct.
Which I'm assuming is similar to anatomically correct. Yeah.
But, now, the kind of crowd that would pay for a $300 anatomically correct, you know, foot tall doll was not one I wanted to cater to.
Why not? You cater to the crowd that will pay for the lovingly well-crafted Star Trek ship. So what's wrong with the doll?
If they weren't anatomically correct, it might have been considered.
How anatomically correct are they?
The male and female figures were interlocking.
Oh, okay.
You're weirding me out tonight, Larry.
But, no, I mean, the fact of the matter is the $300 is a very niche market. Anything that much... so you're talking the difference between a $60 toy and a doll five times the price.
That is a pretty big jump.
Right. So, and if it was a statue, there's more of an argument for it. But this is a dress-up doll.
Dress-up
definitely in my
warp team in, on my iPad.
Yeah, it just sounds weird. I don't,
it is weird.
I agree with you, Taylor.
Whoa, I don't know.
I know. Also disturbing. That's why I was like, I don't know if that's... Yeah. That seems like there may be legality issues being that close to Monkey Joe's.
Maybe.
No. Yeah, you don't want to get some sort of watch list that you put yourself on.
Yeah. Well,
Larry is probably already on a watch list.
Well, he does own hand axes and riot shields.
Yeah, it is.
Did I ever say I owned a riot shield?
He allegedly owns hand axes and riot shields. Who knows if that's true?
I may have allegedly priced some riot shields or allegedly looked at. I don't know that I ever mentioned allegedly buying any.
Who knows, Larry? It's a mystery.
There's a wink there, just to.
Yeah,
in case
Larry
you guys...
definitely has a riot shield. Or so I think. I guess I can't prove it. What do you use your riot shield for?
How many riots do you go to?
Whenever you see that there's a riot going on in your mind, you just kind of like...
My time has come.
Just wade into it with your riot shield.
I've come prepared.
This is going to be funnier.
They laughed at me. Now, who's laughing now?
Now, since you have the riot shield, normally police are the ones with the riot shields. Do you join the side of the police or the protesters?
Yeah, I don't actually have a riot shield.
Sure, Larry.
Way to avoid the question.
Yeah.
I tend to root for the zombies.
Ah, man, he would.
Only because I've met the people. So what game are you playing there?
Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah. I watched the cartoon when I was a kid, and I played the game some. I had to stop playing...
Troll. And that random burst of obscenity on our podcast would be Jeremy.
Hi. Fucking trolls, right?
Fuck those trolls.
He is apparently losing at Blood Bowl.
So I know that if I'm ever playing the game, I need to stock up on trolls because apparently they're fucking OP.
No, they're stupid as shit.
See, stupid as shit can mean that it's incredibly good, depending on what you're
doing. Or incredibly bad.
Trolls have to roll. Trolls have to roll when you activate them, or they'll just stand there and just chase a butterfly, and his troll is chasing a butterfly.
Oh, wait. You're right.
I was about
your
to say, it's your troll. Okay.
I misread that. I thought it was the opponent's troll who was...
Yep, not good.
Getting trolled by his own trolls.
Trolls. What the hell are we talking about? He asked me what a game
Yu-Gi-Oh! I haven't played Yu-Gi-Oh! In years.
Yeah. I stopped, like, playing when it got to the point where they always are introducing new mechanics and shit, right? Because they want
people
to buy
it. It's like Magic.
I understand that. I can't fault them for it, but it got to the point where I was like, I don't know what's going on anymore, and these stupid 11-year-old kids with the fucking metagame memorized are kicking my ass, so I better get out. So, but this game is fun, though. It's I can put together a bunch of decks that I never would have when I was actually playing because I didn't have the money for it. And, yeah. There's actually strategy involved, unlike Pokemon Go.
So it is. So you're playing the actual card game.
Well, it's a kind of a dumbed down version of it, but yeah, essentially.
Well, that's kind of cool. Is it a licensed thing? Or, I mean,
it's got to be.
Konami makes it. Yeah.
Okay. Because, well, I was just saying that because there's a lot of apps and stuff that let you play Magic that aren't exactly licensed by WotC.
There are in-app purchases for convenience's sake, but I appreciate that you don't actually have to get them to play the game. Like, you can buy cards if you don't want to be patient and, like, grind for them.
Yeah, those microtransaction freemium game economy.
But, you know, it's kind of
it works.
I mean, it's like, it's the same thing with Pokemon Go, you know?
Right.
If it's pay for convenience, I don't mind that.
Right.
If you have to pay in order to be competitive at all, that's horseshit.
Yes.
But oh, apparently in Pokemon Go, they're going to be doing Gen 3 Pokemon, although I'm not sure who's still playing Pokemon Go to large degree. I mean, I still, like, log in and play. It's, you know, it's like, good excuse to get out and walk every now and then. But
yeah, I was surprised, because a lot of times you have it here, you're catching balls or whatever.
I mean, balls. Like, I got it up in the other screen, but, like...
Multitasking on the file.
Yeah. Plus my get a good balance going.
So you're twice as distracted.
I am twice. I'm carrying my part of this conversation.
No, no, no. But that's what caught my eyes. It wasn't Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Us being a Pokestop.
Well, I mean, I play the Yu-Gi-Oh game sometimes. I keep the Pokemon in the background, and I occasionally check Facebook. You know, I'm plugged in, Larry. I'm keeping up with a lot of things. I got a lot of balls in the air right here. But either way. That's a real expression, you fucking child. Whatever.
I almost was able to let it go, but then Adam over there.
And then juggling, idiot man children.
Oh.
Whatever.
I was going to let it go, too.
Apparently, we can't both have been the ones who are going to let it go. One of you,
you know, it's much harder.
I guess there was, like, I guess there was a knowing look, right? Yeah. We both, like, realized that the other one wanted to say it. Alright. Wow. You guys are immature, but whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be really uncomfortable having actual testicles in the air.
Well, you know, I mean,
I feel like no one is enjoying that situation there. Where, like, a bunch of dudes are, like, having their balls juggled.
This is just gonna go into some weird places.
It already has. We have crossed that Rubicon, man. Oh, man.
And, you know, of course it hurts to laugh. Because I started doing crunches in my workout.
Oh. So, trying to... Are you doing, like, a specific routine, or are you just doing...
Well, you know, for the most part, I do, you know, a few miles on the elliptical. You know, every day, or Monday through Thursday. And I've lost 30 pounds so far this year.
That's good.
You know, or since February. Thank you. My goal is to be fat. And I say that because technically I'm morbidly obese.
Just work your way down to fat.
Yeah, I want to work down to fat. And according to, you know, experts, doctors.
Okay, see there? That's actually a reasonably good use of the air quotes. That's the best one you've had tonight.
Well, thank you.
We'll allow that one.
Now, that probably involved me losing another 35, 40 pounds.
Okay. Well, I mean, good for you, man. Are you working out at a gym, or do you have?
I joined Planet Fitness. I've been pretty happy with it, and it's not a paid plug or anything. But they do the $10 a month or $20 a month. I do the $20 a month thing, that way you can go to other gyms. But I could get by with the $10 a month. Because I'm only using the one gym anyway, and I never use the massage beds or the tanning boots or the hydro, whatever.
You're not getting a tan? Why not?
I mean, assuming that you've been doing it since February, that means that you've saved yourself, you know, about $80 so far.
Yeah.
Well, no, I am doing the $20.
Oh.
So I have access to all these things I'm not using, so.
Well, then you've wasted $80.
Yeah. Which is not as bad as my significant other, who hasn't been yet.
They wasted $160.
Yeah.
But. Nonetheless.
So.
So I was just.
I mean, $160 ain't nothing. That's like one trip to the comic shop for Jules.
Jules needs to actually come to the comic shop.
I'm sure he does. I mean, we can go over there and check his box.
Like, oh, it's full.
No. It's not. Not even a box.
Yeah, like. It's a literal box at this point.
He does have an excuse for not being here for the last couple months, I guess.
Yeah.
He is now his computer, probably about $300.
The computer that took over his life got married recently, so.
Well.
I don't believe Jules is a real person anymore.
Hey, the Vision can get married.
That's true. Sure. Vision and Scarlet Witch are one of the better comic book couples, honestly. But they keep fucking that up over and over again.
Well, they like to bring it up. Vision had a wife and kids that he made. I mean
yeah, they're all dead. They spend more time like. I feel like they spend more time like emphasizing
the daughter's still alive.
The jilted like. They're playing the angry ex angle a lot these days.
Well, they like to bring up Vision and Scarlet Witch being a couple all the time. And they love to tease it, but they never really execute it.
I heard it's a limited edition 4-issue miniseries.
Probably. They recently brought it up during Secret Empire, because Vision and Scarlet Witch were both evil for some reason.
Yeah, they were both on Evil Avengers, right?
Yeah, and they were both in the back of the Avengers plane. I don't know. X-Men have the Quinjet, right?
No, that's the Avengers.
Those the Avengers?
The X-Men have the Blackbird.
Oh, okay. Getting mine mixed around.
Yeah, there's a lot of iconic team jets. Yeah. You know.
Where's the rules for Wizards?
So, yeah, easy mistake to make.
That's still a thing.
Favorite still has to be Wonder Woman's with the invisible jet.
Yeah, and the Justice League has the Javelin. And,
yeah. I don't see that.
I don't know if you want to count the Fantastic Car, but
no, definitely the Fantastic Car. Because out of all of them, that's the one I can remember who it actually goes to.
I think you should be pretty embarrassed if you can't remember which group uses the Fantastic Car. You know.
Well, now no group uses the Fantastic Car.
You're right. It is.
So does that thing morph into a jet? How is it?
Well, the original Fantastic Car from, like, the Kirby days was essentially, like, four, like, buckets that all, like, mashed together.
Yeah, it was weird.
It honestly wasn't one of Jack Kirby's better designs, the Fantastic Car.
Not everything could be a home run.
No, it's still, you know, pretty solid, but, like, you know.
We're still talking about it.
Yeah. I mean,
80 years later, so.
I mean, it's endured.
Yeah, but, you know, people still talk about Bather striking out, so. Is it more the design that endured or Kirby that endured?
Well, definitely Kirby endured, but a lot of his designs did as well.
Oh, just not one.
The only other person I can think of who is as an iconic like costume designer is probably John Romita Sr.
80.
The same scale.
Yeah. Ultimately, no one can hold a candle to Jack Kirby as far as, you know, comic design goes. Like, character design, I should say.
Well, and that's something we doubt. I mean, I doubt anyone ever will have the opportunity to be that iconic and that wide of a scale.
I mean, that's true. I mean, he was operating during the Golden Age and the Silver Age. You know, the premier times of comic innovation, where they were like kind of solidifying what comics are. Both
well, and also, you know. You look at there was so many books that had Stan Lee's name on it, so many books that had Kirby's name on it, but there weren't that many people. It was a much smaller.
Oh yeah, I mean, during
I'm not trying to take away from their, you know, achievements or anything.
During Marvel's little renaissance there in the 60s, Stan Lee was literally the only person writing for Marvel when they were writing Fantastic Four. Like, when they wrote Fantastic Four. His brother, I think, ghost wrote him a little bit for things like Thor. Larry Lieber did. But, yeah, it was a very, very thin roster at Marvel at the time. It was Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, and there was another person. I can't remember who it was right now.
What? Really?
But, yeah, mostly it was Kirby and Ditko.
I mean, so without, you know, I mean, the closest you come to that again would be probably the early Image days, which, you know, I mean, it really wasn't the same thing. You only had,
it wasn't.
You know, five people, but they were only doing, they were so, all doing their thing.
So you're right that perhaps it is an unfair comparison, but I feel like at the same time that doesn't diminish what a genius Jack Kirby was.
Agreed. Now,
But
I'm just saying, we may never see another Jack Kirby.
Probably won't. No, yeah. Probably. The same way that it's effectively impossible to have another, like, Shakespeare or another, like, Michelangelo. Not just in the fact sense that they were talented, but in the sense that they more or less created the art. Like, they, like, propelled it forward in such a way that you can't really repeat.
Right, and I mean, you can say the same thing with, you know, not necessarily propelling in the art form, but, you know, celebrity personalities and stuff like that, you know, your Marilyn Monroe's and,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and Liz Taylor, you know, these were such big names when it was such a smaller group, you know. Or in the evening news when everybody had three channels, you know. Yeah,
it's true. I mean, there could probably never be another Walter Cronkite.
Right. You know, you'll never get another rivalry like Jay Leno and David Letterman again, you know.
Yeah,
because
I mean, like,
it's going to be 40 people on.
Yeah,
you know?
There's at least like a dozen major talk show personalities running around.
Now I place Paul.
So it's... Now, instead of being, you know, a few fish in a very large pond of the viewers, you know, it's a bunch of small ponds. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the YouTube effect that everything's getting diversified. Everything, so it's. And that's why I was talking the other day about TV shows. Yeah, you know, you're not gonna ever have another "Who Shot JR" moment. You know. It's going to be harder and harder to see stuff like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad, you know, because it's getting more and more diverse.
With the lowered barriers on creating and releasing content and getting it to a super, getting it effectively to an infinite audience with the internet, it's more or less impossible now to command a market share like these TV shows and various other people did in the past. That's true.
I mean, you even look at some of your shows from 20 years ago, like Full House and Roseanne, which have both came back. Or I think Roseanne is coming back.
It's a process. Yeah.
But Full House, like Fuller House, is on what, season 3 now?
Is it?
I think it's 2.
Okay.
Either way,
but,
it's there.
Yeah, it is
and
there.
There's a ringing review for you. It's there. It's a thing.
You can watch it.
I haven't watched a single episode, so I can't really comment on it.
It is,
I wasn't the biggest Full House fan at the beginning.
It is right. The same, exact same as Full House, but gender reversed.
Okay.
So, if you liked Full House, you'll like Fuller House. If you didn't like Full House, you won't like
Fuller
House.
You know what? You can't really fault him for that, I think. I mean...
No. Full House had its fans.
They
had a following.
Yeah, this is not the show for you if you were looking for them to make groundbreaking television.
No.
You were an idiot if you expected
that. Well, right, but those shows back then were, it was a much bigger deal, you know, a sitcom demand, you know, like Scrubs, you know, demanded a huge audience. It was one of the early shows one of the first shows to get brought back, you know,
Or for a casualty?
Man, I do love me some Scrubs. Scrubs is a great, like, oh, hey, Scrubs is on, I'll watch Scrubs, you know, type thing. You know?
Yeah.
It's probably one of the last great syndicatable shows, that isn't animated. That's, because most of your stuff that goes into syndication nowadays, or from now, will be Fox Animation.
Well, things like Breaking Bad, it's a great show, but you have to watch the whole thing in order to get anything out of it.
Yeah, that's like part of the problem. That's part of the problem with the way we binge our shows, like the way Netflix works and stuff like that, is you can't really watch just any episode of anything anymore.
Yeah.
Right, and it's really the fact that it's these long movies broken up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, you just mentioned things being brought back. Apparently Will and Grace is back now.
Yeah,
I did hear about that. Yeah.
Will and Grace, like, I haven't seen the rebooted version of it, but it's like, Will and Grace has an important part in, like, national discourse in the sense that it sort of made people more inoculated, for lack of a better term, to seeing gay people.
It definitely moved it more into the public eye, even more rural areas or whatever, you know, where people weren't as accepting. You know, it still got good reviews.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, the fact that it made a lot of people, probably of the younger generation, who maybe were watching it as kids, okay, so I don't really see what the big deal about gay people is. But that being said, it was also really leaning on some stereotypes.
Was, But again, there was a lot of that in TV.
What I'm saying, though, is that, like, it was a step in the process, a necessary and important step, and it did good things, but do we need to go back to that now? I feel like we've moved past where that was.
Well, you haven't seen the
okay, you know, fair
so
enough.
They might have.
I'm assuming it's largely the same as it was, but maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I'm just talking shit right now. If it is largely the same as it was, I don't think it really serves that same purpose anymore, though.
Right.
We've moved on to things like Modern Family, where the show isn't, like, about them being gay. It's just they're gay characters on a show. And I feel that's an important distinction.
And credit to the guy who plays Will, I do believe is straight.
Yep, he has a wife and kids, I believe.
Went and played, wasn't it Mad Men, where he plays, like, this super male chauvinist guy.
That's some range, know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like the total opposite of the character, and he was one of those main guys. And that's set in, like, the 50s or 60s or something.
It changes. Another show like that where not really sit down and watch an episode type of thing.
No.
Invested for the long haul type of thing.
But that being said, the long haul, we have well past the hour mark.
Gracious me.
Now,
good gracious.
If you are still in it for the long haul, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm looking forward to reading Thor number 700 here. Jason Aaron hasn't let me down yet.
We're gonna have another episode of Instruments of Destruction this weekend. It's gonna be another jam-packed episode because IDW keeps releasing a shit ton of books.
They did a Kickstarter for a board game.
Did they?
What type of board game?
You know, I don't remember.
No, IDW or
IDW. IDW does have a board game division.
Apparently not a super successful one for Kickstarter.
No, they're just doing it. That's part of.
Remember when Archie got in trouble for trying to kickstart a couple of its comic books?
I actually don't remember that. No.
That happened
a lot of big companies have just started kickstarting stuff all the time.
You know, I guess that is a decent way to gauge interest in a project if you're not sure whether or not you want
to. Well, it is definitely devalued Kickstarter because these little people that it was intended for get overwhelmed a lot.
Yeah. Well, that is kind of shitty.
Also, you can't tell me that Archie Comics doesn't have enough money to make a Betty and Veronica book on its own. It doesn't need my money.
There's definitely other non-crowdfunding pre-order systems.
Right.
Yeah, they can do. Which is what these game designer, big game companies do, is they do basically, they don't want to, it's a pre-order system where they say they're not going to take a risk, you know. Cool Mini or not, has kickstarted dozens of things. Yeah. And it's the point to where they advertise, they time their games releases to advertise their next Kickstarter.
And it's got to suck for you, too, because that really takes out the middleman.
Right. Well, you know, and they become a direct market retailer because they could make more money.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine, except for they're basically selling to people at wholesale. So, you know, it makes it so I can't, if I sell them to them at retail, they feel like they're getting ripped off. So, and I just don't want to do that. Yeah. So.
And anyone who wanted the game would have pre-ordered on the Kickstarter.
Right. So I don't carry Cool Mini or not because of that. Because of that. I do special order it for people if they ask. You know, I can get it. Yeah, you know, through many a distributor, I'm like, okay, I can get this for you. Duh. Yeah, you know, and I had carried it for a while. It's just, because it's such, because your market is the Navi board gamer. No, but the not because they're only advertising online.
Right.
This is somebody who would like the game, but hasn't seen anything. Because even the non-tech savvy people, I mean, Kickstarter is not that complicated. Yeah. So, as far as I log in and I promise I'll pay for something. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry to hijack your final thought there.
It's fine. Now it's your time for your final thought.
Well, you could finish your IDW.
I already finished it. We're having a show. At some point.
Having a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the long and short of it.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you watch Dragon Ball? No, it's a little person.
Oh, yes, sure. I thought you were asking if I had watched a specific thing that just came out recently or something.
Do you watch the current Dragon Ball Super?
I do tune in to Dragon Ball Super. It's actually kind of cool right now because, well, it's cool in the sense that, like, it's playing to the tropes that Dragon Ball is really famous for with, like, all, you know, there's a hyper-powerful opponent he's fighting and he just, like, had a new transformation to fight him or whatever, but it wasn't enough and he's been repelled for now and he has to figure out how to re-access the form or whatever. It's a fun watch. Oh, but the bad guy isn't really a quote-unquote bad guy, because the current arc is a tournament between various universes, and whichever universe the only universe that gets to live is the one that has a fighter win in this tournament. And so the overwhelming, super powerful opponent of Goku's is actually a guy from, like, a superhero team. They're gonna have like a whole like
fighting Superman, right?
Kind of, yeah. Maybe, yeah. Toei's just kind of jumping on that whole rivalry aspect that's been developing on the internet for a few years now. Although, for the record, Superman would beat the shit out of Goku.
I agree with you.
Superman is bullshit overpowered. If you're looking at like the character's biggest feats, Superman is effectively unbeatable. Like he's way too fast, way too strong.
I mean, and, like, does Dragon Ball take place on Earth?
Yeah, I mean, it's version of Earth, I guess. Sure. So
same Earth with animal people running around.
Yeah. It's not an Earth that would be highly recognizable to you or I, but...
And dinosaurs.
There are also dinosaurs running around.
Possibly a different yellow sun. So it may just depend on where...
Well, all right. from that assuming that they are fighting somewhere where both people have access to the power source, by that logic, Superman can just drag Goku into space and he suffocates. So, okay, assuming they're both fighting somewhere where neither has an overwhelming handicap, yeah, Goku would get the crap kicked out of him by Superman. Just saying.
I agree with you.
They did an episode of Death Battle. It was pretty good.
Superman win?
Superman won twice. They did a rematch and Superman won again. The most recent one was Wonder Woman versus Thor, which is a pretty cool debate, I think.
That one could work.
Yep.
They did a Superman versus Goku epic rap battle.
They did. It's a big internet rivalry, Superman and Goku. It's the subject of a lot of fan art and angry forum discussions, and people incorrectly interpreting the thing of Dragon Ball power level shit to like mean that Goku would win somehow. Which is an important thing to remember is that power levels.
The power levels in Dragon Ball were meant to be bullshit.
Yes, they're meaningless.
They are completely meaningless. The whole reason why power levels exist is for them to show you how meaningless they are.
Yeah. Sorry, I was about to sneeze, but then I didn't.
But then he did.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
What a roller coaster of emotions that was. But yeah, I mean, they stopped using power levels altogether after Frieza because they had gotten so big that they almost like just they were just they just would have to keep throwing huger and huger numbers. Also, the scaling. Also, the scaling doesn't make any sense. And also in Super, they've made it seem as though it's a big deal that one of the adversaries early on was someone who could blow up a planet, but like Vegeta could blow up a planet at the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, so why should that be a big deal? So I think they've been rolling back how strong the characters are supposed to be.
I don't know, they're destroying universes, so.
Well, the Dragon Ball Z, the Dragon Ball Universe's version of God is going to destroy the universes. But,
he's a Kung Fu master.
Yeah.
I mean, sure he is.
At one point in Dragon Ball Super... Actually, no, he's like a little kid. But, he just, like, snaps his fingers and blows things up. He doesn't fight.
Oh, so he's Q. He's an evil...
He is Billy Mundy. With the kind of Q sensibilities, I guess. But earlier on Dragon Ball Super, Goku got hurt by a bullet because he was careless. So, yeah, that makes me think that...
Dude, he got hurt by a bullet. He got shot.
It, like, grazed him and it, like, cut it, it, like, roughed up his skin a bit. But it gave him a friction burn.
In literally the first episode of Dragon Ball Z, Raditz catches a bullet that is shot at him.
Yes. Goku caught several bullets. He was being shot at by a machine gun, but one of the bullets, like, grazed the back of his hand and left, like, a friction burn. Whereas Superman can tank supernovas. So, you know. Feet for feet, Superman has more to fall back on.
Yes.
It's not a question of who's the better character. I mean, that's a different argument. I mean, I would probably still go with Superman, but I guess I'm biased in that way. But definitively, Superman would win a fight. Whether he's a better character than Goku, that's certainly a fair debate.
The better character, you know, that becomes an argument almost decided by whether you're more of a comic fan or an anime fan.
Well, see, that's which one is your favorite character, which is another discussion. Best is hard to quantify, I understand that, but... Both of them are pretty straightforward characters. There's not a lot of complexity going on.
There's not really a lot of...
They've both had major impacts on their medium. And...
Yeah. I would argue that just by sheer volume, there's both more shit Superman stories and more good Superman stories, like, collectively, just because there's way more Superman material out there
than
there is Dragon Ball material.
And even then, like, you only
shit Dragon Ball material I could pick up would be GT, which even that...
Oh yeah, GT was bad.
I mean, it was bad, but it still wasn't, like, dumpster fire.
No. Although, is it even canon anymore?
No, it's not.
Because, yeah, Super seems to be largely ignoring it.
Well, GT wasn't made by the same guy who made Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. So.
Super is a much better show than GT was.
So it was Super made by that guy?
Yeah, yeah, Super is made by that guy.
Akira Toriyama?
Yeah. You know, they have a card game based on Dragon Ball Super.
I'm not surprised.
I remember collecting the card game that went with Dragon Ball Z and being very lonely and not having a single person to play with.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I feel like card games, you, like, there's no point in getting into the card game unless it's popular.
You know, the big difference between this card game and that card game, this card game is actually being put out by Bandai.
But do people play it?
Yes, we actually have a tournament every Sunday.
You missed your opportunity, Adam.
I already got burned once, can't get burned again.
Oh, well.
And Bandai has randomly selected us to do one of their regional tournaments.
Oh, cool. When's it going to be?
Well, we're doing what they call basically a release tournament the first weekend of November.
Okay, well, it's coming up fast. Well, have fun with your Dragon Ball Super tournament.
Are you going to dye your hair yellow and spike it all up? Spike your beard?
Oh, man, a Super Saiyan beard would be
amazing.
Quite a sight. I don't think they've ever done that.
Have you ever seen the fan art for Super Saiyan 3 Nappa?
No, not. I don't think I have.
You should look that up.
I will look that up right soon.
That's fair.
Yeah. These final thoughts are kind of rambling on, though, so I guess we should wrap it up.
Well, that was my final thought. So that would be the final thought.
Well, then I guess I kind of hijacked your final thought. I mean, I just spent the last, like, 10 minutes talking about why Superman would beat Goku in a fight. My bad.
I think we're done now.
We're done. What? It's Larry, what are you doing?
What are you doing there?
Larry, it's your responsibility. Adam only steps in when you're not here.
I'm just wondering how long I can just keep y'all going. As far as it was like, what the F? Now, you can find us online at comiccity2.com or on Facebook. Or find us at outrightgeekery.com. Check out this and many other podcasts there on iTunes or wherever bad podcasts are sold or given away for free.
We sell this?
Who's buying this?
I don't think anybody is actually buying it.
What poor soul?
Gomer is trying to sell it, but, you know.
Yeah, but Gomer's an idiot.
But anyway.
We already discussed that earlier.
Gomer's bad at everything.
Now, Elaine, if you're listening, tell Jules to come pick up his box whenever he gets back in town. And good night. And congratulations.
I guess.
Or my condolences, but I think we covered that last week.
We should do a week where we just don't shit on Jules at all. See if we can manage to do it.
I think that's physically impossible. And mentally impossible. Because anytime you just think of Jules,
we could do that, but
you just instantly
we'd end up bashing Gomer the whole time.
See, that's fine. I'm not saying we should stop everything.
He's not a prude.
Yeah. And, you know, in Gomer's defense, he is one of our 11 listeners.
Just kidding, Gomer. Actually, we're not. You suck. Oh, come on. That was a good end. You missed your opportunity.
The button is no way up here.
Fuck you.